Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Yes, that lion boy.
Hard to sing. I don't know. I don't know what to do.
Not that Maggie's back in town.
That's all I got.
Look out, old Maggie's back.
Yeah.
Chris McMichael.
Sports Radio.
Yes, sir! Yes, sir! 143. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Got you till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. A little bit of extra time. We have so many fun, positive, good things to talk about. Give me an extra 17 minutes. I'll take it. 888-808-1019. Fleegs on the other side. And we're going to be spending a lot of time about our lousy football teams. The Mets season may be over. At least the Yankees gave us a win. But my God, I mean, we'll start with the Giants because we're following that crap. Not the postgame. I'm sorry, Schmelk. You guys are tremendous. Tiki, you're the best. Paulie, Dot. The actual football team. If we can call them that. As both of our football teams, I spent all week. I spent, particularly Friday and Saturday, asking for someone to step up and save our football season. Someone, please step up, make a play. And there were opportunities. Plays were made. The Jets blocked the field goal and ran it back for a touchdown. Still not good enough. Well, it was for their coach, not for the rest of us. 0-6. 0-6 for our football season. Dead. And let's start with the most recently deceased, the New York Giants. As last night was one of those games that from the jump, right, whatever enthusiasm you're able to muster about either of these football teams, but any kind of excitement Sunday night, the first game in that building for the Giants, their first home game, the Chiefs aren't who they used to be. You know, I love that one. Chiefs aren't who they used to be. Good enough to beat this lousy team. But whatever enthusiasm you can muster, however you can fool yourself heading into the game, whatever lies you're able to tell yourself that you can believe the Giants could take advantage of this or the Giants are capable of that. And look at last week in the passing attack and what Russell Wilson could be able to do. Andrew Thomas is playing. Hey, it's a new day. First game at home. Anything's possible. This Chiefs team is not the same. They're 0-2. Anything is possible. And you found out real quick that it's the same exact thing because so many different things go on in this game. But it starts with, as we're watching the game, and I was doing some things at 7 o'clock. I was helping my wife shower the kids. I was putting them to bed. I come down just as the game is starting. And all of a sudden, I hear Mike Tirico say something. And Mike Tirico says, well, you know, Graham Gano hurt himself in warm-ups, got a bit of a groin issue. I don't know if we're going to see him kick. And I got to tell you, from that moment on, I knew what was about to happen. I knew what was about to happen. Because believe it or not, it's difficult to play a football game when you know you don't have a kicker. And we're going to get on the coach. We're going to get on the coach for everything that went on in this game. And rightfully so, because Brian Daboll and this passing attack in particular are an absolute joke. An absolute joke. The execution of this offense inside the red zone, the play calling inside the red zone, all of it's a joke and it's on the coach. But what I want to just say real quick, because Joe Schoen deserves his share of blame. And if so many people hit me up because I didn't want Brian Daboll fired at the end of the year, and right now that obviously looks like a mistake. But so many people hit me up and blame the coach for not having a kicker. That is not the coach's fault. He was healthy all week. I was listening to the postgame. All week long, not a thing. He hurt himself in warm-ups. What are you supposed to do? Dress a backup kicker just in case the Graham Gano goes down? If he's that unreliable, which apparently he is, because now this is the third time in the last 3 years that the Giants enter a game or at some point in the game, don't have a kicker. Don't have one. And we're watching the punter kick it, or we're going for two-point conversions, or we're 4th and 8 at the 30, and we can't afford, can't kick it because we don't have a kicker. It's happened so much. Let me tell you something. Graham Gano is a very solid kicker. He is accurate. I trust him in big moments. I like Graham Gano. Get him off the team. It's not, he just can't stay healthy. He can't stay healthy. And this is on Joe Schoen for not recognizing you have a 38-year-old kicker that, by the way, you're paying a lot of money to. They could have saved money, cut him, drafted a kicker in the 7th round, or picked up some kicker for cheap and got in there with a kicker who might be able to stay healthy. And we see across the league that, yeah, we see missed extra points. We also see 60-yard field goals clicked off like they're the easiest thing I've ever experienced. Like, get another kicker in here. Sorry, Graham. You're a good dude. You're actually a good kicker. You can't stay healthy. And 3 years running, he has put the Giants in a situation where you have to manage the game completely differently when you're taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. That's the first part of it. And that's not the reason they lost. And I'm still that mad about it. Because honestly, at some, like, that first drive is a promising drive. They're running the football. They were able to run the football. This offensive line was able to get a push on this Kansas City defensive front. You know, Scadaboo and even Tracy early on before he hurts his shoulder were running the football. Andrew Thomas and his 25 snaps or 30, whichever one it was, 25, 35 snaps. I think it was just 25. He looked like himself. There was actually some promise to the start of this game if you didn't hear Tirico tell you that Graham Gano wasn't there. Like, outside of that information that we got 2 seconds into the game, that first drive, some push. They're running the football. Scatterball looks good. Tracy looks good. They're down the field. There's an opportunity to kick a field goal and go up 3-0. There's a point in this game where it should have been 10-6, but they don't have a kicker. And that's not on the coach. That's on this GM. That's on the GM. Graham Gano should not be the kicker at 38 when he can't stay healthy. It's ridiculous. And then you get to what is the coach's fault, the offense. And I only have a few minutes here because we're backed up on spots. So let me just tell you this. Last week, they played, and what we saw furthered this week by what Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears were able to do to that Dallas Cowboys team. And this is why you can't lose that freaking game. You can't lose that game because the Giants could have played better in this game, but it's hard to beat the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, when they're 0-2 with their season on the line. That's a difficult game to win. They had an opportunity to do so. They had an opportunity to do so, believe it or not, but that's a tough game to win. You got to beat the Cowboys when you put up 37 points and take the lead with 25 seconds, but I digress. Because we saw what they did against a lousy team when receivers were running down the field wide open, when that Wandell Robinson was running up the seam all by himself, they were able to get some big plays down the field. You watch this game and the way Russell Wilson played and the play calling and what happened pass-wise, there is nothing to this football game. There is nothing to this passing attack. There were two plays. Throw the ball deep into double coverage. Check it down to a running back. That was it. There is nothing intermediate. There is nothing across the middle of the field. There is nothing. Now, is that because the game plan sucks? Maybe, and probably. Is it because Russell Wilson can't see over his offensive linemen, or he just doesn't see the field anymore, or he's incapable of making the throws unless they're wide-open moon balls? Yeah, maybe. Is it that this wide receiving core that I've believed in all offseason, that a lot of us Giant fans who are excited about this team and believed in this team on some level and had some optimism despite the struggles over the last handful of years, despite how much the coach hasn't been successful over the last 2 years, despite the strength of schedule and how difficult it was going to be, some of the optimism was they have Wandell Robinson, they brought back Slayton, they have obviously Neighbors, who's a stud. I think, and you talk about the running back position, I think there's actually some good players. I think there's actually some talent in the skill positions. And I'm sorry, Russell Wilson's awful. The play calling's awful. We'll get to the continued lack of just imagination and terrible play calling inside the red zone. But let me ask you a question. Did you see any wide receiver win? Did you see anybody win? They don't win. Nobody got open. They got open against the Dallas Cowboys, which we're about to see. Everybody will get open against the Dallas Cowboys. Against Spags and this Kansas City team, there was no one open. No one. And that's not to excuse the play calling, because it's dreadful. And I don't care who's not open. I don't care how tough they're making it. I don't care how deep they're playing their two safeties. I don't care what's going on. You've got Malik Neighbors. He can't have one target in the first half. You have got to find a way to get the ball in his hands. Chris Collinsworth was saying it. Run an end around. Run a bubble screen. Do something to put the ball in your best playmaker's hands. Nothing. 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 How is that possible? How is it possible? And then just, quite honestly, the lack of playmaking ability. That's it. As talented as I think this roster still is and can be, I truly do believe there's a lot more talent on this team than previous seasons, and I think there's enough talent on this team to actually win some football games. But they go out and spend big money on a Debo. He drops an interception in this game. He actually dropped two. The second one was at the end of the game. Didn't matter. But he has a chance to make a game-breaking play. Bobby Okereke. That's a fumble on a backwards pass where he has an opportunity to just either fall on it or pick it up and scoop it and heal and take it in, because God knows they don't score without miracles. And instead, he allows Patrick Mahomes to run across the field and rip it out of his hands. You want to know why they lose? They lose because there's no imagination in the play calling, particularly in the red zone. They've got nothing going on with the pass game. And they don't make the big game-winning plays when they're there to be made. And Kansas City only, they didn't do much. They made a couple. They make the big, Andrew Phillips commits the big penalty at the end of the first half. They get the same thing. They avoid a sack, third and long, throws a bomb. It's caught through Andrew Phillips' arms. Like, they made a couple of game-winning plays, and the Giants make none. Plain and simple. They had an opportunity to be in this game. I'm not going to tell you they could have won it, but they had an opportunity to legitimately be in this game. The entire thing changes when you lose your kicker. I'm sorry, it just does. Your entire mentality changes when you lose your kicker and you know you have to play that kind of football game. No big plays, nothing in the passing attack other than checkdowns and deep balls into double coverage. And when there are plays to be made that can impact the game and swing momentum, they dropped them every single time. Interceptions dropped, big plays not made, interceptions thrown on one-on-one coverage in the back of the end zone, fumbles not picked up, just plain and simple. Game play changing plays, there were four or five of them. They failed on every single one. Why? Because they're the New York Giants, and they have no freaking clue how to win a football game. And that's Brian Daboll, and that's Joe Shane, and it's also everybody who's touched this franchise for the last decade. It's not just them. It's amazing how it continually happens. It has been a decade of everybody involved with the organization has no freaking clue how to win a football game. None of their players know how to make the big play. It's the same thing over and over again, and it's impossible to watch.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer.
When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
UnitedHealthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at UnitedHealthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
Right now, 203 or 204. Nick Monaco here with you on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Let's get to you, because this is one of those nights. I mean, we'll get to the Jets, obviously. We'll get to the Mets. I don't know if we're gonna have time to touch on the Yankees. They want a game on the road in extra innings, which they typically don't do, and they've put themselves in a very good position with the magic number of 3. That's it. That's probably all we'll talk about the Yankees, because it's an absolute disaster everywhere else we look. Everywhere else we look. And the New York Giants last night, I didn't even get a chance to talk about Russell Wilson in the red zone on that final drive, that final opportunity to score a touchdown and get back into the game. I mean, I don't know if he thought the goalpost was part of the team. He threw the first ball into the runway. And then on fourth down, he steps up in the pocket and absolutely nails the goalpost. Like, What is going on? Inside the red zone is just a disaster. It's almost as bad as it's ever been. Some other things are more promising. The offensive line played the last 2 weeks more promising. The defense played relatively well in this game. They don't make the big plays. They don't get off the field good enough. But, you know, you hold the Chiefs to 22 points. I know they don't score a ton of points anymore. I know it's not the same Chiefs. I get it. I know they're down their two best wide receivers. Still, you hold a team to 22 points, and it's coached by Andy Reid and led by Patrick Mahomes. There's issues with the defense, but they gave them this offense an opportunity to win, and the offense had no interest in it whatsoever. And the passing game is atrocious. But let's get to your thoughts on it. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Nico in Jersey City. What's up, Nico?
What's going on? On my way home from the game.
Oh, like you went said, to that riveting game. That must have been so excited. When did you know they didn't have a place kicker? When did that start going through the building?
Probably around halftime when, I guess, you know, people found out. But, I mean, like you said, the last 10 years, this franchise is a joke.
Oh.
I mean, a joke.
No.
How many home openers have you lost in a row? You know what I mean?
I don't know. Everyone?
One person laughing right now that I'm laughing with, because he knows what's going on behind closed doors.
Let me guess.
It's Wink Martin.
Oh, Wink Martindale. Yeah. I thought you were going to say Daniel Jones. I'm sure Daniel Jones is having a chuckle, too.
Oh, yeah. He knows. He knows that Brian Daboll is incompetent. Let me ask you a very simple. Let me ask a simple question. Do you think Nick Sirianni knows more about football than Brian Daboll? Probably not, right?
No, I wouldn't say he knows more football than Brian Daboll, no.
Okay.
Do you think Nick Sirianni's roster is anywhere close to Brian Daboll's roster?
Well, Brian Daboll's roster is not that bad.
Is it as good as the Philadelphia Eagles?
I mean, go through it. Go through it. It's not that bad.
It's not bad enough to be. No, it's not. It's not.
You know what I mean? He just can't get them together. Mike Kafka? Come on, dude. That guy's horrible. Horrible.
What kind of plays you calling?
The inside red zone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I hear you.
And this is just not this year. This is going on year 11. Year 11.
Well, not with them, but yeah.
Not with them. I'm just saying something stinks in that building.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Something is rotten in New Jersey. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. I'm sick of it.
No,
you know what I mean? I'm sick.
Of course.
You get excited for the season. You know, summer, end of summer, I go, what am I going to look forward to now? Winter's coming, you know, it gets dark out late. Oh, I got football. Boom. You know, two games in, your season's over.
Yep.
Like, come on, bro. Like,
no, it's three
and
games
we spent all this money. And
yeah.
I got to sit in traffic and drive home. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
It was a brutal loss, Nico. I would push back on some of the things you said, but I don't feel like defending Brian Daboll. Look, the way it's turned out, it's easy to say, you know, Wink is laughing. I push back on that a little bit. You know, Wink Martindale had his guys go and leak stories to the media and everything. Wink Martindale is not, like, now because Brian Daboll has been unsuccessful without him, the story gets painted as, well, Wink Martindale was a saint. Wink Martindale was the greatest defensive coordinator that the league's ever seen and certainly the Giants have ever seen, single-handedly won those games. And he was just a great coach minding his business, and Brian Daboll told him to get the hell out. Like, that's not exactly how it went down. Wink Martindale wanted more praise than he was getting. Wink Martindale had his assistant coaches leak stories to the media to make the coach look bad. Wink Martindale stood up in a meeting before he was actually fired and told the coach to go blank himself. And then he was so wanted and respected throughout the NFL that they went to go play. He went to go coach in Michigan. I'm just saying. I'm not in the mood to defend Brian Daboll, but can we stop with the idea, you know, that, you know, Wink Martindale, like, didn't do anything wrong, or that, like, you know, there were some issues, no doubt, and Brian Daboll's had plenty since. But, I mean, we got to stop talking about Wink Martindale. Because I don't know if he could have saved this team. Now, you make it sound like Wink Martindale were here, we'd be winning. I don't know. Maybe the defense would be better, sure. Can't be worse, right? Bowen's done a terrible job the last 2 years. Again, this game wasn't necessarily on the defense, but yeah, and the play calling and running, you know, the same thing, right? Running RPOs, trying to get clever, right? They bring in Jackson Dart to run the RPOs because he's more of a threat at the quarterback position for running, and it kind of works. It's worked both weeks. I know we could laugh at it and people are like, what the hell are you bringing in Jackson Dart for? A play here, a play there. He's not even throwing the football, blah, blah. Like, yeah, it seems weird to me too. And I don't know if I like it or not. But what I will say is it's been some of the most successful plays they've ran. Both times, Scataboo is broken for long runs. So, like, it's somewhat working. They bring him in to run these RPOs. They take him off the field to bring in Russell Wilson, and they think to themselves, you know what's the last thing they'll expect? The last thing they'll expect is for Russell Wilson to keep an RPO. We just brought in the RPO package. We're sending the RPO package off the field. They're probably thinking anything but RPOs, and then we'll run it at the goal line. And then we'll realize, oh, that's right, Russell Wilson can't run. And there's a reason we have a package with Jackson Dart to do it. Like, yeah, no, of course. I'm not looking to defend Brian Daboll. I'm just so tired of the Wink Martindale thing. But he's been awful, no doubt. Everything about this team's awful. I'm not trying to tell you that anything Mike Kafka stinks, the coach, the head coach stinks, the GM stinks. Everyone stinks right now. Absolutely. But when we go compare him to the Eagles, like, the Eagles are a much better team. And it is a very difficult schedule. And that's why, like, did you really expect to win this football game? Did I expect a more confident offensive game plan? Did I expect a better passing attack? Did I expect them to figure out a way to at least be functioning inside the red zone? Yes, yes, and yes. And all of those things disappointed me to the nth degree. But did I honestly expect them to win this football game? I did not. Was it more there to be won than I would have suspected? Yeah, I guess. Yeah. But the problem is you can't blue. That's why the loss to the Cowboys is such a devastating loss. They just got whooped by the Bears. Their defense stinks. You took a lead with 25 seconds left, and you let them win that game. That's the killer. This schedule is too tough to blow the games that you should have won. They played miserable week one. I think Washington's a beatable team, but they got beat by a team that was in the conference finals last year. And then they took on the Kansas City Chiefs, desperate for a win. Like, I didn't expect them to win that game. That's why you got to win the games you can win. You got to win the games you can win. And now next week, you're staring at 0-4 with the way the Chargers are playing. Brutal. Just brutal. Greg in Washingtonville, he was at this disaster as well. What's up, Greg?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I don't even know where to begin at this point. I mean, just watching this game. I mean, first of all, Scadavo lights out tonight. This is stud. I love it.
Yeah.
I didn't even know Gano was hurt until halftime. When I'm watching him at the 35-yard line warming up, he's kicking field goals that are bouncing before the end zone. Your Russell Wilson can't hit a receiver for the life of him. The play call.
Did they even try and throw to one? I don't even remember them trying to throw to a wide receiver.
Like, it wasn't even close.
No.
There's 5 minutes left. If you score a touchdown, it's a 6-point game. You're running QB draws. You're running the ball up the middle. You can't throw the ball because Russell Wilson can't hit anybody. I mean, I don't even know where to begin with this.
Well,
game.
Listen, you said Russell Wilson can't hit anybody.
Mahomes throwing backwards.
Yeah. No, Mahomes throwing backwards.
Nobody's jumping on the ball. Mahomes is running across the entire field and picking the ball up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't even know where to start with this team at this point.
No.
It was a waste of the money that I paid to go out there.
Of course. No, it was a disaster of a night. The one thing I'll say about Russell Wilson, you say he couldn't hit anybody. Did anybody look open to you? Like, that's the only pushback I'll give about Russell Wilson. And we haven't even really discussed what's going to be the biggest discussion about the Giants moving forward from this point until forever is when they go to Jackson Dart. Obviously, I don't have to do that in the first 15 minutes. We can focus on just this game necessarily. But obviously, that's going to be the biggest talking point off of this is when do you go to Jackson Dart? And I'm not saying Russell Wilson played well. He played awful. But did you see anybody open at all? Like, even the throws to the wide receivers were into double coverage. Like, is anybody winning? Wandale Robinson won last week against the Cowboys, running up the seam wide open. Did anybody actually get open? I don't know. They didn't even attempt to do it. It was either deep balls at the double coverage or it was checkdowns to the running back. I don't remember a single, you know, slant over the middle, a single crossing route. I don't remember anything. And maybe that's just my bad memory, but I don't remember a single attempt intermediate at all. And I find it hard to believe that he wouldn't even attempt it. It's one thing if he was throwing it all over the place and missing wide receivers here and there. Like, I don't even remember them attempting it. I don't remember, like, other than the one up the seam that he hit at the end that should have been a play that got them down to the 4-yard line. Where he made that bullet kind of throw right to the four-yard line to Wandale Robinson. Other than that, I don't even remember attempting to hit wide receivers in a route. Like, it was mind-numbing. Mind-numbing offensive game plan. And I'm not sure these wide receivers that I was so, you know, gung-ho about this wide receiving core because it's been such a disaster for the Giants for forever, and they obviously have a stud in Neighbors, but arguably the greatest defensive coordinator in the history of the NFL, and that's what Spags is. He's arguably one of, if not the greatest defensive coordinator in NFL history, decided that Neighbors wasn't going to have an impact in this game. He decided he was going to take Neighbors out of the game. And if you're going to do that, there's two things you can do as an offense. You can either say, screw it, I'm going to force it to Neighbors, and we're going to come up with creative ways to get him the ball. And we know that's going to be your game plan, so I'm going to attack it and still figure out a way to get him the ball. Or, because they're paying so much attention to Neighbors, it's going to set me up to go elsewhere. There was no elsewhere. Did Slayton get open? Did Wandell Robinson get open? Did the tight end get open? Did anyone get open? And Russell just couldn't throw it to them? I think it's more troubling than just Russell. And I'm not saying he didn't play well. I'm not saying he played well. He was awful. And particularly in the red zone, and particularly in that final drive of the red zone, where he literally threw every pass away, including on fourth down, which is unacceptable. But honestly, did you see any sort of scheme or open? It's not like he was missing guys left and right. All he was doing was throwing it deep into double coverage or checking it down to the wide receiver, checking down to running back. I don't remember a single, oh man, Russell really missed on that throw. Other than the short on the interception in the back of the end zone, outside of that, oh man, that one was at his feet. You got to do a better job, Russ. Oh, right off his fingertips. Man, Russ, you got to put that in his hands. I don't remember saying it once. There was just nothing. And nothing's worse. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. Quick break. Right back to your calls on the Fan. We'll come back. Take your Giant calls in this moment of desperation as we are now, as Giant fans, staring at another 0-3 season. So are the Jet fans. We'll get to them in the next hour. Season's over and we're trying to come to terms with it. And I don't know how to.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her United Healthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and United Healthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play?
Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Talk sports hands-free. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
All right, 225. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. We'll get right back to your calls. We haven't even really talked about the pass rush. That, again, for the third week, Burns is an animal out there. Burns has played extremely well. He was, you know, he was ducking underneath tackles and getting around them. He was creating all kinds of problems, and there were moments. And I did feel like Mahomes was on the move a lot. Whether he chose to do that or was forced out of the pocket, both happened. They don't get home. They had their hands on him multiple times. They still allowed him to make big plays down the field. This pass rush that has been much ballyhooed, that is supposed to be one of the premier pass rushes in the sport. You know, a lot of talk about snap counts for Abdul Carter. You know, yesterday, questions in the postgame to Dexter Lawrence about how much, you know, he's playing now. And he hasn't looked like his typical self. I have every expectation he'll round into form coming off of injury and some time off having his first child. I expect him to get back to where he was last year, but he's not there right now. Abdul Carter is, you know, not dominating, that's for sure. He's playing relatively well. He's had moments where he's won, moments where he's been unable to beat the man in front of him, but not getting home. And if this team wants to win, which almost doesn't matter anymore. We're going to start talking about Jackson Dart after today. They've got to be a dominant unit. They've got to be. And right now, they're not. And they're not getting home enough. 888-808-1019. Matt in Saratoga. What's up, Matt?
Hey, C-Mac. Long time, first time.
Oh, well, thank you for calling.
Of course, I'm still on the way home.
So oh, you went to this debacle as well.
I did. I don't know what those other guys are talking about. We knew Gano was hurt.
Well, when
3 minutes into that game,
when what's his name goes for the extra point, I figured that was a. I don't know right. If you could tell that from, you know, when the punter goes to kick the extra, when Gullum goes to Gillum goes to kick the extra point, I figured that was a dead giveaway.
Yeah, that was, and it did. It kind of took the air right out of it. Knowing that, I mean, I just you hit on it before, but. I mean, it's bordering on malpractice at this point. I don't understand. Gano, yes, is a good kicker when he's healthy, but the guy can't stay on the field. It's three times in 3 years you've been mid-game losing a kicker.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. He gets hurt on the block kick in the Dallas game, Washington last year. Now he's got this. Wasn't there an issue with the Jet game, too? Why do I feel like a couple years ago, the Jet game, we had an issue with the kicker? Maybe that was just multiple quarters.
Yeah, there was. He was playing hurt. He missed that kick.
Yeah.
And I think it came out after it because he was nursing it.
Right.
It's the same thing. And it's like, I think if he's got to go on IR, if you bring him back, I don't know what the cap implications are.
Yeah.
But if you bring him back, they've done many that are fireable offenses, but this would be one.
He can't be the kicker anymore. And it sucks because I do think he is a reliable kicker. I think he's a good kicker. I think that's what they're thinking. But now, it's unacceptable to continue to allow this to happen. I can't remember any other team, like, and I'm sure there is, and we have recency bias, we also have our own fandom bias, you know, but I can't remember another team that had it happen to them once, let alone three consecutive years, where they have to play a game where you can't kick a field goal. And that changes things. Like, make no mistake, it changes the way Spagnuolo calls his defense. It changes the way the Giants have to run their offense. It changes the thought process inside the red zone. It changes everything. Like, it changes everything. It changes everything.
I think it was even on that first drive. They went for it on whatever.
Yeah, you could kick a field goal there.
That was the first time we knew he.
Yeah.
We looked and were like, there's no reason to be going for this.
No.
Down here.
No, absolutely. And he admitted, you know, Dable admitted, yeah, we would have kicked a field goal there. We didn't have a kicker. Like, I just.
Yeah.
They kick a field goal there, it's 3. You kick the extra point on the touchdown, it's 10. You're talking about have it be 10-6 at one point in this game. Like, I'm not saying they win the football game necessarily, but they're in better position if they have a kicker and they're up 10-6.
yeah, it's just exactly like you said. It's the repeated offense. I don't understand. It's banging your head against the wall, or it's incompetence. It's one of the two things, and it's crazy that it's still allowed.
It's assuming that the kicker won't get hurt. And to be fair, like if he got hurt during the week, like any normal person, if he gets hurt on a Wednesday, they have another kicker in there by Friday, and it's not a problem.
Right.
He gets hurt, you know, in the warm-ups. He's coming off of the national anthem hurt. Like it's just what are the odds that the dude gets hurt in warm-ups of the game? Get hurt on Tuesday, man.
We talked about that at the game, actually, towards the end of the game, and we're speculating, which you'll never know the truth of, but given the last 2 years, that there was something, and they tried to keep him off the injury report.
I can't imagine that. Matt, listen, I hear what you're saying. I was listening to Schmelk in the post game. He's all over the team. He's with the team every day. He's at the facility every day. He said there was not a peep about anything wrong with Gano. Like, I just find it hard to believe. Go get another kick. You're telling me that the New York Giants sabotaged themselves. Knew he was hurt. Said, oh, you know what? We'll figure it out. Hopefully it doesn't bother him. And then that happened in warm-ups. Like, I refuse to believe that the Giants would knowingly go into the game with a hurt kicker. And maybe it was minimal and nobody said anything and they didn't think it was going to be an issue and it was. John Schmelk, I believe I heard him correct, said there was not a peep about any sort of injury from him all week long. I just can't imagine the Giants would go in without having a legitimate option then to back him up, knowing he was dealing with something. If that's the case, then yes, fireable offense. Frank in Palisades Park. What's up, Frank?
Hey, C-Mac. I'm just disgusted with this team.
Yeah.
Blow the whole team up. You got to get rid of Daboll. You got to get rid of Shane. Get rid of the whole staff. Other than maybe a handful of players, everyone's got to go. I don't see any way this team can do any good this year. And you're right about the wide receivers. Why even re-sign Darius Slayton? What has he done in three games?
Well, he hasn't done anything in these three games. He's led the Giants in receiving yards, believe it or not, like, you know, besides last year, 3 years running. Like, he's been their best receiver for the last 5 years or 4 years, however long he's been here. I'm not saying he's great. I'm just telling you that's the fact.
Before last year,
he was their leading wide receiver.
Well, he's got a hell of a decline because what has he done in these three games? Actually, any of the wide receivers other than Malik Nabers.
Well, no, Wandell Robinson had an incredible game against the Cowboys. They all had a very good game against the Cowboys.
And what about the tight ends? They're disappearing too.
Yep.
Theo Johnson, Daniel Bellinger.
Yep.
Ben Hurts, the guy they just drafted, Fedone. Have they done anything at all?
No, not really. No.
What's the point?
Well, I mean, you got to have someone at the position. I don't know what to tell you. Like, what you can't just get rid of the entire team. I know we're all annoyed. I know we're pissed off. They're 0-3. Like, and it's funny too because like it's weird. Like as we go through it, like when we started the year, most everyone would have told you I expect them to be 0-3. But now that it's actually happened, we're all furious. I was the one out there saying I think they're going to win 2, and people called me absolutely nuts. Like, so I think like half of the fan base that's crying today expected them to be 0-3. But the offense has just been, I mean, you know, it had one, they played a terrible defense. They played a good defense week one, nothing. Played a terrible defense week two, scored 37 points and had 8 plays over 25 yards. And then played a pretty damn good defense with a great defensive coach in week three and did absolutely nothing. And he looked terrible. He looked terrible. He looked great. He looked terrible. And we'll see what happens moving forward. But you can't just get rid of everybody. And I still think there's talent on them. Obviously, Nabers is talented. We'll see about Wandell Robinson. Slayton knows the offense. That's why they brought him back. Slayton knows the offense. He knows all the routes. And he has, you know, 4 out of the last 5 years or 3 out of the last 4 years led the Giants in receiving yards. So, like, but they got to get open. They got to come up with a better scheme than this. I don't know. It's hard to understand where the passing game was today. It's hard to understand what the thought process was. It's hard to understand what they worked on. It's hard to understand what the game plan was. There was no game plan in the passing attack. There were two plays. Throw the ball up for grabs, check it down to a running back. That was it. That was it. Like, there was nothing. Robbie in Phoenix. What's up, Robbie?
Yes, sir. Good morning. It was a very frustrating day to watch football. Yeah. Very upsetting and frustrating. In fact, in order to save my sanity, hypothetically, if I was the owner of your station, I would tell everyone, please don't talk about these teams. They're not worth it. It's just, I don't even want to talk about them. Do not talk about this. Talk about cricket. That's how I feel right now.
I'm sorry, Robbie,
to be like this.
No, well, listen, I hear you. But the problem is with that, and not to get too much into that, because I know you're just trying to have fun. But for some reason, this stands out to me. I don't know where I saw it or where it was from necessarily. But I remember an interview with Mike and the Mad Dog. And they were actually in Studio C back in the old Astoria days. So I don't know who did this interview, and I don't know where I saw it. I don't remember, but I remember what was said. And I remember when it was. And they were asking Mike about the station and what plays and what's it. And it was right after, it must have been in February or March of 2008, because it was right after the Giants Super Bowl. I'll never forget what he said. He said, what the Giants just did, this miracle run to a championship and beating the undefeated Patriots, that's like an 8 out of 10. That's an 8 out of 10, great storyline. We're going to talk about it constantly. It's an 8 out of 10 for what we do. The Mets blowing 7 games with 17 to play, that's a 10. That's a 10. And it's true. That's what we do here. We wallow in our miseries. Negative plays. We're going to talk more about the football Giants over, like, it's weird because, like, what's the best thing for the station this next week? Probably the Giants losing this game, the Jets losing this game, and all the anger and all the great rants that'll come of it and all the, but long term, it's not good because then we stop caring. In the moment, fantastic. If we're going to be honest about actual radio stuff and not like what we want for our teams. In the short term, oh, they lost, I can scream, I can yell, everyone's going to want to call and give their screaming and yelling. But then by week 7 or 8, there's no more screaming. There's no more yelling. There's indifference. And that's the last thing we need. And forget us as a station. You, I, as a fan. I'm tired of feeling indifferent about the Giants. And I'm mad at myself because I got up for them this year. And I went out on a limb and I thought they would win these two games. I was positive about this team. I was. As crazy as I am, I was upbeat and positive about this team this year. And before you know it, we're going to be more focused on our fantasy football teams, and we're going to be more focused on our weekly pool pick we pick, or with our office pool, or the knockout pool we're in, or our weekly betting habits. Like that's what football becomes, and that's what's great about Football Sunday. Right? Once your baseball team's out of it, you're not watching Cubs Brewers on a Tuesday night. You're out. Your baseball team stinks. You're out. Football, it's still Football Sunday. I'll watch all the games. I'll bet on this one. I'll watch this. You could still enjoy football. You'll pick another team to root for. You'll have players because they're on your fantasy team or your kids love them. Like this, you could still get involved in football. And that's what we've become experts at here in New York. We've become experts at loving our fantasy team. We've become experts at picking another team to root for. We've become experts at being indifferent about our team and still loving football. And we get further opportunities to redefine our expertise. Because here we are, 0-3 for both these lousy teams.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
All right, 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We started with the Giants. We'll get to the Jets. We'll even try and mix in the Mets a little bit as they are now on the outside looking in. And clearly both the Giants and Jets already, 0-3, are on the outside looking in.
But let's get to as many calls as we can because we've been a little overly loaded with spots with a long Giant pregame. So it's going a little faster than usual. So let me try and get in as many calls as we can. Jackson in Philly. What's up, Jackson?
Oh, C-Mac. How we doing, brother?
Good, man. How are you? You were at this game too, huh?
I was at the game,
it's
yeah.
It's almost like 70,000 people or so went. It's crazy.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it was a packed house. I had to get up and leave my girlfriend to call you because I always listen to the fan at night, so I always hear you. And I was just getting so pissed off while I was trying to go to sleep. I was like, I got to call in. I got to say something.
Yeah, this is a tough one, man. It's just it's so demoralizing having these seasons over already. It's just
The problem, C-Mac, is I live in Philly, so I deal with all of my friends are Eagles fans.
Sure.
And it's like, it seems like they can just play a terrible, terrible football game for three quarters and still win the game.
That's exactly
what
happens.
And I sit here and watch the Giants. It just never happens. They can't win.
Nope.
I don't get it.
No, listen, it's the same thing. Now, look, Philadelphia is vastly more talented. There's no doubt. They've built a better
Absolutely.
Roster.
Of course.
So there's no doubt about that. But you're not wrong in the idea that it's a good example. Watch both teams. Watch both of those games. The Eagles played like crap the first half of that game.
They sucked. It was unbelievable.
They could do nothing. The Rams were running it down their throat. And then when the plays needed to be made, they make them. Two block field goals, that's the difference. As much as the difference is the talent, that's absolutely the case too. I don't want to make it seem like they're much better. But they were playing a lousy game. They were getting worked, and they figured out a way. All of a sudden, Brown starts making big time plays and breaking tackles, and Hurts is getting in the end zone. And then when they need to make a big play on special teams, on defense, whatever, they know they're going to do it. They believe that they're going to make that play,
and they got two blocked field goals.
They're lined up for the Rams are lined up for a game winning field goal.
Oh, I know.
And they block and run it back for a touchdown. For by the way, if you had the Rams at +3.5, worst loss that you could possibly have.
Is it so ridiculous? I do have a silver lining that I'd like to get to, but is it so ridiculous? Is Abdul Carter actually playing football for the Giants?
Is he
on the team?
Yeah, he is.
He is? He's on the team?
He's there.
This front seven that we were all excited for, have they done anything? It's unbelievable.
No, not really. I mean, they've created some pressures. They have not gotten home. They're playing him an inside linebacker because of their need at the position. They're kind of, moving him all over the place. He didn't play a ton week one. I'd have to look to see how many snaps he played last night. Look, there's no reason yet. It's three games. The team is awful. There's no reason yet to be overly concerned about the bust potential of Abdul Carter. We're not there yet. We're not close to there yet. We're really not. We're not. There's no reason to be overly concerned about him being a bust. But three games in, he is not the immediate impact player that we all kind of felt like we were promised we were getting. Three games. He could very well become the best defensive player in the NFL after three unimpactful games to start his career. We have no idea who this kid is, and I still have every expectation to think he's going to be a very good player in this league. But he hasn't just immediately made that kind of impact that we all kind of thought he was after not only all the promise of what he was entering the draft and the greatest defensive player in the draft and this, that, and the other, but also just anytime you heard anyone talking about what's going on in camp, it was Abdul Carter's all over the place. Abdul Carter wrecked everything the offense was trying to do. Abdul Carter did like everything you could possibly ask. His bend on the edge rush is incredible. His strength through the middle is incredible. Like everything you heard from everyone who covered the team, every Connor Hughes report from Giants camp was this dude's everywhere. He's impossible to stop. And we have not seen that through the first three games of his career. Doesn't mean it's not coming. Ahmed in California. What's up, Ahmed? How are you?
Hey, what's up, buddy? Thanks for taking the call.
You got it.
Man, I'm over here in Berkeley, California, 30-year Giants fan. I'm just shell-shocked. I mean, I just have to go back to what I feel like has been the original problem for about a decade, which is there's no offensive line. I mean,
that wasn't the problem last night. That wasn't the problem last night. I'm not saying it hasn't been.
I actually agree that that's not the issue from last night.
That wasn't the issue last night. It clearly wasn't the issue.
I just feel like in general, going into these games,
yeah.
This first time in my life, I feel like this team is just going to lose every weekend. And it's time for Dable to go. I'm not trying to be dramatic here.
No,
it's just there's something that's not working at this point. I know you guys were just touching on Abdul Carter. I feel like he's okay. I just feel like it's.
Yeah.
I mean, Dave, can I touch on one thing that really annoyed me tonight as a longtime fan?
Sure.
That first drive, you don't kick that field goal. I just don't understand that anymore.
They don't have a kicker. They didn't have a kicker.
Man.
They didn't have a kicker. Graham Gano got hurt in warmups. They didn't have a kicker. Like that was an easy one. I hate to break it to you, Ahmed.
True.
I hear what you're saying. They didn't have a kicker. That's part of the, like the minute I heard that. Like the minute I heard that he was hurt, and then you see what happened in that first drive, and then you saw the extra point attempt. Like it's just like they got beat by a 64-yard field goal the week before. They have been beat historically by long field goals at the end of regulation. They are. I gave the stat the other day. I think I gave it on Saturday. I forget, or earlier in the week. When it comes to 60-plus yard field goals at the end of regulation to either tie or beat you, the rest of the NFL has lost games like that, or those kicks have been attempted 42 times over the last 12 years or 15 years. The rest of the NFL is 3 for 42. Those kicks, 60-plus or more, at the end of regulation to take the lead or tie the game, those kicks are 3 for 42. Against the New York Giants, they are 3 for 3. So the rest of the NFL, 3 for 42 in those attempts. The Giants, they kick 60 yards or longer against them to beat them at the end of regulation, 3 for 3. Like it's hard not to feel slightly cursed. I know the Jets feel cursed. It's hard to not feel slightly cursed by what's going on with the New York Giants. You get Brian Dable here year one. It is so freaking promising. It's a breath of fresh air. He yells in Daniel Jones' face after a bad red zone turnover. Daniel Jones stops turning over the ball. They go for 2 in that week one to beat Tennessee. They start the season with a bunch of wins. They beat the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson down 10 in the fourth quarter, find a way to win. They go on the road to London, down 10 in the fourth quarter to Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, find a way to win. 9 games, get into the playoffs, win a road playoff game. The future is bright. We have a coach. Opening game next week of the next season, 40-0 by the Cowboys, and that was it. That was it. They have been a disaster since. They were a disaster the 5 or 6 years prior to it. Had that one shining season, that one, and they weren't even that good. They were just good enough to get in and then beat a fraud Minnesota team. But that's been the highlight since 2011 was that road playoff win. And since then, it's been a disaster. And it's hard not to feel cursed. And when you heard that Graham Gano got hurt in warmups and they're not going to have a kicker going up against the Kansas City Chiefs, like, how are you going to win that football game that you can't kick? You got to go for it 4th and 8 inside your own 30. That's it. You have no option. You got to go for it. Hard to believe.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet, bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.